Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, and we welcome Michael Knights, the Jill and Jay Bernstein Fellow of the Washington Institute, to comment here early in 2022 on the militia attacks in Iraq and Syria, particularly in Iraq. Michael, a very good evening to you. Your article for the Washington Institute has a solution for how the militias are setting the rules for the year. What is their ambition right now? What can we say about their depredations in Iraq? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. Well, the militias backed by Iran are doing in Iraq at the moment is to try and placate their support base that wants US forces to leave, but without upsetting the leader's internal position inside Iraq or getting themselves killed in a retaliatory US airstrike or even upsetting the Iranians as they try and string us along at the Vienna negotiations. So it's a delicate game they're playing of trying to hit the US, but probably without killing Americans, trying to look serious to their support base while not actually bringing major retaliation or consequences on themselves.
So what is the impetus behind the attacks? They've struck buildings. They haven't done much damage in terms of causing U.S. casualties. Are they deliberately holding it back for fear of retribution? Is there a risk that they will escalate these attacks?
Thus far, they've been deliberately holding back from doing attacks that will cause U.S. fatalities. And there's good evidence that the Iranians have been pushing them in that direction, particularly while the nuclear negotiations are ongoing at Vienna. At the end of this month, we may well see those negotiations pause for a while, with the US signaling, you know, that no good progress has been made and that more pressure will be brought on Iran. And at that point, we may well see Iran's militias in Iraq, in Syria, and in Yemen undertaking more dramatic attacks, possibly even ones that kill Americans.
The drone attacks, Michael, is there a significant technology leap for Iran, or are these recognizable from across the landscape? I know Turkey is also promoting its drones, and China's selling drones into the region. Has Iran got better ones or the same?
They have better or slightly worse than Turkey, and much worse, of course, than the United States and the Western world. But they're good enough to be very cheap and to be able to hit targets at ranges of out to 2,000 kilometers, which means Israel is basically in range now, as well as Saudi Arabia or the UAE or US bases. And these drones are so cheap that, you know, when we're shooting them down with a $500,000 air-to-air missile, or worse yet, a $2 million Patriot missile, and these things only cost $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, it's obvious that they will deplete our missile defense arsenals unless we move to a new technology like laser or high-powered microwave.
So the Houthis in Yemen are backed by Iran. We've seen an escalation there. And just as the militias in Iraq are backed by Iran, do you see a correlation between the actions of these two proxies on their relative related war front? And is this a coordinated strategy by Iran for some greater purpose?
Well, what's interesting is that the Iranians have armed the militias in Iraq and they've armed the Houthi militias in Yemen. And what they're finding now is that they do not have the fine-grained control of those organizations that they would like at this moment. They're very good at arming them and telling them to attack, but it's much more difficult to tell those groups, stop attacking now, because it suits Iran's interests that you calm things down for a while. So, you know, in the same way that you can, you can give these weapons over, but you can't necessarily say how they're going to get used, Iran is facing some of those same difficulties right now.
The attacks in the UAE in particular, there were drone attacks, I believe, against the airport, and then there were missile attacks follow-up. UAE has responded by being alarmed. The whole Gulf is alarmed. Is there an escalation ladder underway in your measure, Michael? Next, are they going to move on to, for example, Dubai?
So the Houthis in Yemen feel very concerned right now that they are starting to lose on the battlefield. And as a warrior people who focus on military victory, that is their worst nightmare. And as a result, they're starting to hit a broader range of targets in the Gulf that they haven't hit before in places like Abu Dhabi and Dubai. And so we will probably see additional attacks, I think probably within the next 72, 96 hours, as we have some visiting Israeli politicians coming to the Expo 2020 in the UAE.
So we've reduced the military pressure on the Houthis for a while, which gave them more ability to expand their efforts. And for those who don't get it, I mean, you have, it's a very great strategic importance, not just to our allies, but Bab al-Mandab, to Jewish shipping, to the oil, to everything. Has on the ground, have the Houthis made real progress? Are they consolidating their positions? Or do you see the possibility that the government forces can really move and take more land back?
Well, up to just 2 weeks ago, the Houthis had used all of the space that we had left for diplomacy to instead concentrate their forces and overrun the most important parts of Yemen. What we've seen happen in the last 2 weeks is that the UAE has supported some of the tougher Yemeni forces with logistics and money and so on, so that they can start pushing the Houthis back from those energy-rich areas and forestall the possibility of a Houthi military victory in the war. That's why the Houthis are hitting the UAE, Abu Dhabi, Dubai. And that is, you know, that's what the US now has to try and exploit or build upon, which is to say, if the Houthis don't think they can win a military victory anymore, maybe they'll be more likely to come back to the peace table in seriousness this time.
I want to see if I have the picture correctly. The militias in Iraq and in Syria, the Houthis in Yemen, all of them supplied by Iran with weaponry, missiles, and small arms, but especially drones. All of this describes chaos, anarchy, a wider war. Is that Iran's intention? And does this reach an end when Iran gets the sanctions lifted and the JCPOA is concluded? Or is that just the beginning of the next phase, Michael?
That's a great question. I'll say this. While the Iranians are trying to sucker us into another nuclear deal that's probably not good for the US, they're trying to calm things down. But one way or the other, they will ramp up these militia attacks in Iraq, in Syria, and in Yemen in the future. If the nuclear talks collapse and the Iranians face greater sanctions, they'll use these militias. But additionally, if the Iranians get sanctions relief and international pressure on them drops, they'll use those militias in the future to try and control those three countries.
And is the capacity that the Houthis have, has it developed? We've seen some of the attacks. We've seen the responses to the attacks, the use of more advanced missiles and supposedly drones, which can hit Israel also with its 930-kilometer range. How has this escalated their capacity, both in the directly and in attacking the surrounding countries?
The progression of the Houthis has been tremendously fast from a military perspective. In 2010, the Houthis could barely throw a primitive rocket or roadside bomb. And by 2015, they were able to throw medium-range ballistic missiles all the way to Riyadh, the Saudi capital. None of the Iranian-backed militias have ever been developed so quickly, not even Lebanese Hezbollah. So the Houthis have basically been turned from a small guerrilla movement living in the mountains into an Iranian proxy movement that can strike out at Israel, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, the Indian Ocean, and the Bab al-Mandeb and the Suez Canal. You know, this is really an unprecedented growth of an Iranian proxy in a very short period of time.
What we have here, Michael, not yours to take responsibility, but it's gloomy. Do I say that correctly? Gloomy? Iran looks to have the upper hand, controls the battlefield, names the strikes when and if, supplies the surrogates. The surrogates might not be well disciplined, but they certainly obey the arsenal that's flowing their way. And all of this in Tehran's hands, whether or not there's a JCPOA. Did I hear you correctly, Michael?
I look at it a little bit more glass half full for a couple of reasons. In Iraq, we have seen the militias go from the height of their power in 2019 to a very degraded position right now because their political parties were smashed in the elections. Their two main militia leaders, Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes and Qasem Soleimani, were killed in January 2020. And they're now fighting with each other for the scraps. In Yemen, we've just recently seen the Iran-backed Houthis push back from all the gains that took them over a year to make in just a couple of weeks. And in Syria, US forces are regularly striking back at any Iran-backed militias that attack them with deadly effect. So it is a push and shove. And in that push and shove, the Iranians are certainly not getting it all their own way.
Michael Knight is the Jill and Jay Bernstein Fellow of the Washington Institute, Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest, building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving, it's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.